Port of Vancouver, gateway to the Orient. Rough, tough Vancouver, whose waterfront presents an ever-changing panorama of mystery and violence. A constant challenge to such specialists in crimes of the sea as Don Gray, Marine Investigator.
My name is Don Gray. My business, marine investigation. And that means shaking hands with crime and disaster. But whenever there's low play on the waterfront, whenever there's a situation that doesn't have the honest smell of fish or lumber or grain, then it's Don Gray, the interested party's hire, to kick it around for them.
You like driving around Stanley Park, Bosun, don't you?
After all the years at sea, I can't be seeing enough of the tall timbers, Ronnie. But I like to keep the water on one side of me just the same.
I like to see the ships coming and going, too. What are the foghorns blowing for? It's clear.
That'd be Point Atkinson, Ronnie. Probably hazy outside the Narrows. But you'll be learning all about that one day before you inherit your peppy ships.
Does my daddy own many ships?
Plenty. And charters even more. He's been a hard worker, from deck boy to captain to motor. That takes brains. And old Bosun's only got sweat to give.
Is that why he made you his chauffeur?
Well, I served him a long time in the old days. Maybe he just kind of liked to have someone around he could yell Bosun at once in a while. Blow me! This lover's in a hurry. We better give him room. Take me better starboard a bit.
Keep your hands on the wheel there. Don't move.
Now, watch this.
We want the boy. Stand.
Get away from me. Bosun.
Take your hands off that boy. Take up.
What are you waiting for, Pete? Witnesses?
All right.
I am married.
Hurry, Pete.
Okay.
Gray's office.
Kane here, Irene. Want to speak to your boss, or is he?
Oh, yes, Sergeant Kane. Sergeant Kane on the line, sir.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Sergeant, what can I do for you?
Nothing, you baboon. Nothing for me. I'm handling homicide.
Okay, and mishandling everything else. So what is it?
Old man Blair. Horton Blair, the ship owner.
Oh?
He wants to see you at his home. It's about his boy. He's been kidnapped.
Kidnapped?
That's what I said. In broad daylight. In Stanley Park. Better go on out before the old man goes nuts. He'll tell you all we know.
In a minute. Right away. Irene, what do we know about Horton Blair?
Well, he's on our file.
That's what I thought. Fairly Barron's case, wasn't it?
That's right, sir. We filed him for reference. Mm. Oh, here he is.
Read it.
Horton F. Blair, born New Westminster, 1894. Chairman of Directors, Northwest Lines Limited, American Oriental Shipping Corporation. Began life in ship's forecastle, founded N.W. Lines, 1945. Married same year, Elizabeth Barr, prominent socialite. One child, a boy, born 1946. Mm-hmm. Elizabeth renowned for her beauty, a both for their hospitality and charity.
Who put that in, last bit?
I did. You want the picture complete, don't you?
Okay.
His home is at the tip of Point Grey, with the waters of Burrard Inlet lapping at his feet. He loves the sight of Point Atkinson Lighthouse across the water, and the mountains lifting into the northern sky. And when the sun sets in the street...
Look, Irene, you should be in real estate. You've certainly sold me. So I'm going on out to have a look at it. So long.
So long, Mr. Gray.
It was just like Irene said. Only the sun was setting in a red mist, and Point Atkinson was sounding its warning to mariners. The house itself was modest enough, considering the owner's means. Horton Blair sat me down in his study, but he himself paced the bare floor.
This is the foulest blow I've ever had in my life, Mr. Gray.
I imagine.
I don't understand it.
I haven't a guess myself. Yet, Sergeant Kane said your boy had been kidnapped. That's all.
In view of the note, I want the police held off. They were driving in the park. Stanley Park. Ronnie and my chauffeur.
Yeah?
Since Ronnie was born, I've been afraid of kidnappers, Mr. Gray. That's why I hired Chris Nelson as my chauffeur. To watch him.
Mm-hmm. Bodyguard?
In a sense. He was an old bosun of mine. Good character, good influence.
Go on.
Well, they went out for a drive in the park. An hour ago, the car was found near Prospect Point. Ronnie was missing. Chris Nelson was behind the wheel. His head was crushed in.
Dead?
They phoned me. He died a few minutes ago in the general hospital.
And they say whether he talked?
He never regained consciousness. There was a note in the car on the seat beside Nelson. It said, "Your boy will live only as long as the cops keep out of this."
Uh-huh. Where's the note?
The police have it.
Is that all? No ransom demand?
Yeah, that was all, Mr. Gray. If they'd named their price, my God, they could have it.
What about Chris Nelson? Don't you want his killer cut?
It wouldn't help Nelson. Now.
Oh.
But Ronnie. Mr. Gray, apart from anything else, it'll kill my wife. I can't just do nothing.
Nothing you can do, Mr. Blair. Except just sit tight.
Sit tight?
It's not easy, but whatever they want, they've got to show their hand. When they do, I'll be around to play. Yeah, could be them now.
Yes. Mr. Gray, take the phone in the hall. You can listen.
All right,
Horton Blair speaking. How do you do, Mr. Blair? You may call me Smith, if you like. A good anonymous name.
All right. Mr. Smith, what do you want?
I understand you're suffering a perhaps temporary loss, Mr. Blair.
You know what's happened, evidently. Very well. How much do you want?
Now, don't let's be indelicate about this, Mr. Blair. Cash is not what we have in mind. Only a little business to you.
All right. Name it. I only want my boy back.
Very natural. Well, Mr. Blair, the government has assigned you the task of shipping an engine to Hong Kong. A secret jet engine for boats. Is that not so?
Go on.
It's in your warehouse at Valentine Pier. Cleverly labeled refrigerator. And ready for shipment on the steamer Farndale. And under unobtrusive guard, of course.
So?
Your orders in this connection won't be questioned, Mr. Blair. We want the markings changed and the switch made. We want the engine consigned to Manila and shipped on the Verde. From there on, we'll take care of it.
I can't do it. It's government property.
I think you said something about wanting your boy back, Mr. Blair.
I can offer you almost anything else.
Sorry, but nothing else will do. Meantime, don't bother to have this call traced, Mr. Blair. It's a public phone. I'll check with you later.
Is the boy all right?
A little frightened, naturally. And by the way, in case you have any other ideas, he won't be returned to you until 5 days after the engine has been delivered in Manila. And of course, if there are any accidents, you may not see him at all. Goodbye, Mr. Blair.
Gray, you heard?
I heard. Sounds like foreign agents.
That's it. Can I give you a drink, Mr. Gray?
Guess you could use one yourself. Oh, don't you? Tell me about this engine.
It was confidential. Top secret. But it doesn't seem to be anymore.
Mm.
It's a new type of jet for surface craft, torpedo boats. Hong Kong was to build 100 of them on the model we're sending. Somebody conceived the idea of shipping it as a common refrigerator on a tramp to avoid notice. In the event, it hasn't been very clever.
They must want it badly if they'll kill and kidnap for it. There's only one ism that'll employ goon squads to get out now. How's the crate watched?
There are RCMP men working as ordinary watchmen at Valentine Pier.
Mm-hmm. How's it marked, the crate?
A stenciled diamond with a V in the center. And underneath it, Hong Kong.
Well, I've got a voice to work on and a motive. I'll be looking around, Mr. Blair. I'll phone you back later and see if you've heard again from Mr. Smith.
All right, Mr. Gray. But for God's sake, be careful. I want my boy back. All the jet engines in Christendom regardless.
We'll get him back, Mr. Blair. So long for now. It was 6 o'clock when I got back to my office in the Marine building. Irene had gone. I looked up Lloyd's register and the port directory for the day. The steamer Farndale was British flag, British owned. The Verdi was also British flag, but Greek owned. That generally meant a nondescript crew with a British master and radio operator to meet the regulations. Both ships were at Valentine Pier, both scheduled to leave for Hong Kong next night, the Verdi via Manila. Whatever was going to happen, it was going to happen fast. I was about to leave for Valentine Pier when my phone rang. Don Gray here.
Mr. Gray, Horton Blair.
Yes.
I've just heard from Smith again.
Uh-huh. Looks like he's hopping from one phone booth to another. So?
He's given me what he calls his orders. There have to be no suspicious moves at any time. I'm to give the supercargo written instructions to change the marks and reconsign the crate to Manila on the Verdi. And duplicate the original markings on another crate.
And when's all this going to happen?
When work starts in the morning. Openly. As if it's official.
What's to be the change in the marks, apart from the port of destination?
The V to be changed to M.
Does he figure he'll know whether it's done?
He says they know the exact location in the shed. B-12. And he's right.
Hmm.
And his own man is planted among the longshoremen. They'll know.
Then I guess you better just do what he says, Mr. Blair.
What?
Play along with him, as long as we know where the thing is.
My God, Mr. Gray, it's bound to come out. The supercargo himself.
Who is your supercargo?
His name is Brett Willis.
When you give him your instructions, tell him he's got a new checker reporting. Call me Dan Grant. I'll report to him at 8 in the morning.
For the love of heaven,
it's Grant. Okay. I've got their measure. So long for now. I had a yarn on the phone with Sergeant Kane, and then I hauled out my knife and some old charts I kept around and began to cut stencils, like a diamond with a V in the center, like Hong Kong, Manila. Took me back a ways to my own sailing days. It was after 8 now. Dark outside. I put a shoebrush and blacking in my pocket. Then I took off my tie, opened my shirt, shrugged into an old raincoat, and left for Valentine Pier. But not in my car. I took the Powell Street bus. It dropped me off at the beer parlor near the wharf. And when I stank enough of belly wash, I started rolling toward the gate. The watchman stopped me.
Where you going, Mac?
Oh, man. Where am I going?
Liable to be over the dock the way you are.
Okay. My name's Ferguson.
Gray? Yeah, all right. Mm-hmm. The sergeant called. Here are the keys.
See anyone around?
Quiet as a boneyard, Mr. Gray. But that don't mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
If you see a man by the Farndale gangway, it'll be Crane.
Okay, send me on my way.
And don't give me any guff. Come on, on your way, Mac.
All right, all right.
I didn't have to go as far as the Farndale's gangway. The wicket door of the shed was in front of me and out of range of the lights. And it was even blacker than night inside the shed. Flashlight around. The long shed. General cargo in bales, boxes, crates, and barrels crowding each side of the fairway. The sections were marked on the uprights. I located B-12. I moved to where the crate was. Just then I heard a sound. They headed me into the right. I doused my light. It could have been a rat, even a two-legged brand. I listened. It wasn't repeated. I slid along carefully without the light.
And then it happened. I thought a katana of bales had dropped on me. Opening flashed before me, and my throat was being squeezed in the hands of a gorilla. I turned a somersault, and my attacker went to the lawn. I heard wood splintering, but he was back like he'd been catapulted. He was a giant in the dark. Next time I sprang him off, I picked up a case and met his head with it. But his head must have been mauled. He started off towards the door. I wanted to shoot, but I won't let him alive. He wasn't so fussy. I heard him stop. The gun blazed. I dropped behind what felt like a bale and drew my own. If that's how he wanted it. There was dead silence now. I strained my eyes and ears. I wondered if the boys outside had heard. If they rushed in here, the bag would be skinned off the cat, and Ronnie Blair's life wouldn't be worth peanuts. I held my breath. My ears were reaching for the sound of the goon breathing. There was nothing but the lapping of water below his ear. Funny, I hadn't noticed it before. I took a knife out of my pocket. Flicked it silently about 10 paces ahead of me. He could have been playing possum. I took it carefully. He could have been, and he was. I could see him now. I let him have it. I went back for my flashlight. And took a look at him. Whoever he was as hairy an ape as I ever saw in a mug's gallery. But he was no use to me. He was dead. And at that, he was a menace to Ronnie Blair. I went over and opened the side door. The side away from the ship's berth. I dragged the body over and slid it into the drink. Tide would take it away for a while, anyway. And I went over to section B-12 and got to work with my stencils. Somebody was going to get a headache eventually, because they were going to redirect a crate with anything but a jet engine in it. And then I left. I locked the door after me and returned the keys to the watchman, alias Ferguson, RCMP.
What? You again?
Everything okay, Mr. Gray?
I'm going for another bottle, pal. Hear anything in there?
Not a thing.
When everything's swell, I'll be phoning the sergeant.
Okay, go ahead. If you want another drink, it's your funeral.
Well, sure, somebody. Slung truck.
I hadn't gone far. I wasn't across the railway track when somebody stepped up from behind a truck.
Going somewhere, fella?
Ah, glass beer. Beer powder up the road.
Off one of the ships?
Right. Verdi, lousy ship. You gotta keep drunk to stand her.
Uh-huh.
Coming?
No. No, I guess not. Have yourself a good time.
Yeah.
He was no cop, that one. I wanted him along so I could see him, but I couldn't force him. There must have been others, and that would have fluffed Ronnie Blair's chances of survival. I went on to the beer parlor for the benefit of other watching eyes, and when I got back to my apartment, I phoned Kane.
Sergeant, Don Gray here, Spearhead.
Spearhead?
For Kane.
Okay. How did it go?
Swell. They had a hood planted in the shed, keeping an eye on the crate. Somebody's going to find his body in the harbor sooner or later.
Hey, what did you say?
Had to be one of us, Kane. All I'm asking is, if it's found sooner, don't publish the fact. They won't miss him till morning, but give me till noon.
So what happens in the morning?
I'll be switching crates, all right. But it's somebody's plow they'll be shipping to Manila. That's just in case.
And the boy?
I'm relying on being able to think like a goon. If I can...
That comes natural to you, Gray.
Okay, Flatfoot. At least it's thinking. Now, do some listening. At 8 o'clock in the morning, I was on the dock, dressed in an old lumber jacket, and reporting to Brett Willis, who'd been pointed out to me. He was just coming out of the dock office, stencils in one hand, pot and brush in the other. He was quite young, harassed as all supercargoes are by nature. I stopped him.
Dan Grant, checker.
That's right, I was expecting you.
Yeah.
Ready to start?
Run away.
Well, take this pot, then, and come with me. Some marks to be changed on the crate, section B-12.
Okay.
Look out for the trawler.
Now.
Yeah.
longshoremen had turned to, loading cases onto trays to run out to the ships. There was one guy close by who wasn't doing much of anything. He was moving cases around without any purpose. And he was close enough for me to see that his hands hadn't done an honest day's work in years. While we were busy changing the marks, he came over, stood watching us. Yes, Dinley.
Somebody make a mistake?
Yeah, apparently.
How come?
How the heck do I know? Why don't you just get on with your own job?
That's a thought, ain't it? I'll get a hand truck, help you shift the crate.
I got up off my haunches, pushed a note into Willis's hand. I said, well, that's an idea. If I went over here...
Huh?
Don't move your hands. There's a gun under this set of stencils.
What's the idea? I done nothing.
Yeah, and I should take your word for it. Turn around.
Look, mister.
Unless you want your lights blown up. Okay. Now, hook your thumbs in your shirt pockets and saunter out of the shed as if you meant to saunter. I'll be right behind you. When we clear the shed, turn left to where the tool shed is. If any of your buddies are around, you're just going in for a smoke with a pal. Okay, through the door.
Hey, what is this?
All right, Sergeant. Here's the sprat that's going to catch us our mackerel. Let's see what's in his pocket.
And a bright-looking sprat he is. Okay, Pinhead, you've had your run. Now let's have the story.
Look, I'm a longshoreman, huh?
Well, those hands come again, pal. Yeah, but we're not interested in you any more than in any other hunk of refuse. Who's at the head of this thing?
Listen, I'm only...
Yeah, according to this driving license, your name's Harry Bolton. Otherwise, you're a dirty hoodlum. Now, let's have names. Big names. And fast.
I'm saying nothing.
All right. Where there's a youngster's life at stake, I'm not fussy about how I get the answers. Okay, Sergeant?
I got no rank. I'm just plain Paddy Kane for this show. Go ahead, Dunn.
All right. Well, what story you want? I'm Storm.
Ship's Chandler?
Yeah, that's right. The ship's Chandler on East Hastings.
Well, I'll be darned.
We couldn't afford to lose any time. If they missed two of their goons and a warning went along the line, we'd be sunk. We pushed Bolton through a window away from the wharf and into the sergeant's car.
You.
Mr. Thornton?
Yeah, in his office, over there. I'll tell him.
Well, never mind. Mr. Thornton?
That's right.
Don't get up. I'm not buying anything. My card, Mr. Thornton. Don Gray, Marine Investigator.
Oh, yes, I've heard of you. What can I do for you?
Plenty. Were you ever known as Plain Mr. Smith, pal?
Plain Mr.? I'm afraid I don't understand.
Don't waste my time. I never forget a voice. Stand up. Hold it. Keep your hands steady. Yeah. Now, where's Ronnie Blair?
Who's he? Well, I must confess,
You'll confess, all right. We've got one of your boys out in the car. His name's Bolton. There's another we'll be asking you to identify when the harbor spews up the body. The game's up, Thorne. The state of your health will depend on Ronnie Blair's. Where is he? You heard me.
I had nothing to do with the murder of the chauffeur.
That's something else. The hair of that boy's head has been harmed.
He's all right. He's on a houseboat at Cole Harbor.
Okay, we're going to get him. In your car. You'd better guarantee his safe delivery. Gave Kane the nod as we passed his car. One of his men had joined him. Others in plain clothes were tailing by arrangement. Lousy-looking houseboat at that. An old hull with a frame shack built on deck. It was the only thing out on the jetty. When we boarded, we were met by another ape. His eyes squinted between Thorne and myself. Thorne said,
"Bring the boy up.
Bring him up.
Bring him on deck, walking. We're moving him."
"Okay, okay."
"Mr. Gray, I hope his treatment will be taken into consideration."
"Oh, sure. Hangman might lie another fathom. Depend." Ronnie's legs were free, but his hands were tied. His face was practically covered by the hand of the gorilla who brought him. I stepped across, but Thorne was ahead of me. He grabbed the boy and held him in front of him and began backing towards the gangway. The goon stood with his mouth open, and if he'd been able to think at all, I didn't give him any time. I stamped on his toes and pulled him over the side. And then I went after Thorne as he backed down the jetty towards his car. He had a knife in his hand. It was held at the chest of Ronnie Blair.
"Don't take another step, Gray. I'll make a deal. Let me get in my car."
"Uh-huh."
"I'll release the boy in my car, if you stay where you are."
"I'm rooted here. Go ahead."
"Throw your gun in the dock."
"Nothing you say."
"Okay. Don't move."
He was walking backwards. He hadn't seen that there was another car there. And he'd yet to learn how light in the step a flatfoot could be. He backed right into the homicide squad. I went back for the ape who was still struggling in the drink.
Mr. Gray?
Hmm?
This report says Hans Thorne was a killer and a Red Agent.
Is. They haven't hanged him yet.
Well, why don't they?
Irene, this is a civilized country. We try him first, then we hang him. Come on, let's have a look at the new wine bars.
John Gray, Marine Investigator, is a CBC Vancouver production with Doug Haskins in the title role. The supporting cast included Stan Jones as Blair, Frank Wade as Nelson, Kit Malkin as Ronnie, Lee Taylor as Bolton, Monty McFarlane as Willis, Walter Marsh as Thorne, Juan Root as Ferguson, Dorothy Fowler as Irene, and Eric Bale as Sergeant Kane. Marine Investigator is directed by Raymond Whitehouse, with sound sequence by Ted Levesque and Frank Vivian. Control operator, Bob McDonald. Next week at this time, Don Gray goes back to sea, but not because he feels a yearning for his first love. This time his quarry is a ghost. A routine investigation of a mysterious tapping noise below decks develops into a threatened mutiny at sea and a double murder. This is Ray Nickel. We'll see you next week in Port of Vancouver for another exciting adventure with Don Gray, Marine Investigator.